Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Favia and Associates. This is your host, Nick Augustine, and today our guest is Teresa Narantic, who is well known as a dental practice consultant and speaker in the Chicago area. Teresa works with dentists as a practice consultant for dental practice startups and with growing practices for the future. Today, Teresa is here to share some do's and don'ts in starting and growing successful dental practices. Let's say good morning to Teresa Narantic.
Hey, Nick, thanks so much for that introduction, and thank you to yourself as well as Mike Favia for allowing me to have the opportunity to talk with our colleagues about what's going on in the industry and kind of press a little bit about the do's and don'ts that are happening. I think that if we've learned anything in the last 12 months, first of all, it's about health, our own personal health and public health. But I think the other thing that we've learned is what we do and don't do to become successful. So many businesses, from small private-owned businesses to large corporations, have seen effects of strategizing. The companies that are still in existence are the ones that have had a plan. They've executed a plan ahead of the opportunity to actually have to impose it. So with that, of course, the dental industry is no different than this. The challenges that have come about for our dental owners, the business owners, whether they're small private practice or large corporate DSOs, have been insurmountable. But I think it all comes back to the subject that you asked us to talk about today, Nick, and that's the do's and don'ts of a dental practice. What have we learned? We've learned that strategies are incredibly important. We need to know what might happen and already have in our minds a strategy for implementation in case it does. So one of the things that I always do when I work with a dental office, a dentist and his spouse or her significant other, whatever the situation is, whoever is managing that dental business, is what does it look like at the end? So if something happened to you today, if you were hurt, injured, had to leave your business, do you have a plan in place? And it always leads back to who are our colleagues? Who are the people that are in our network that can give us best advice? Not when it happens, but prior to it happening, so that we already have a plan in place in order to circumvent and get the best result. Now, obviously, if a dentist is injured or even worse, that's not the best thing that can happen, but we can certainly have the best plan in place to make it as good as possible for the patient, the team, the dentist, and the community. So with that in mind, I want to talk about who do you have in your network? Who do you lean on as a dentist to support you? And through the years that I've been in business, and it exceeds 35 years right now, I myself as a business owner have a huge supporting network. If I have a question about law, I go to Mike. If I have a question about banking, I go to one of my banking colleagues. If I have a question about build out or succession, I go to the people that I know and trust. And the reason that I've known and trusted them is because of the results that we have been able to achieve together through the existence that I've been in the dental industry. They have great reputations, and they move immediately to get good results for my clients. So the same thing happens in our dental industry. The dentist needs to have a network of professionals that they can go to and talk to. Obviously, dental consulting, I think, is imperative. When a dentist graduates from dental school, they know how to cut a crown and how to do an endotherapy. They know how to fill a tooth. They know how to move teeth if they're in the orthodontic arena. They know all the practical things that they've been instructed to do while they were in school for 4 or 6 years. So that's great for them. But very, very few of them come out of dental school with the ability to run a business. And I have to say, when I first started in dentistry over 35 years ago, it was a lot easier than it is right now. We have dental insurance networks that we have to jump through hoops about. The landscape of dentistry has changed incredibly. The single owner practice with 3 or 4 chairs that charges fee for service is almost obsolete. We have dental service organizations that are in the landscape that we have to compete against. We've got, you know, specialty practices. There's so much more that the dentist has to commandeer. And where are they going to get that knowledge? Between taking care of patients, developing a team, running a business, being their own HR specialist, being their marketing strategist, being the insurance coordinator, the money marketer, their own CPA, all of those things can be outsourced. And I feel right now that the businesses that are doing the best job in the dental arena, pardon me, are the ones that have found those successes in finding partners in the dental arena and are using them as their resources, because you as a dentist are doing a great job doing dentistry, but you don't have to be the person that's doing a great job doing everything else. So let's just break it down a little bit about the things that we just talked about. Dental specific, I think, is important. When you're choosing your network, I have found, again, that the practices that are most successful are the ones that are dental. So when I'm choosing an attorney, I don't choose an attorney that is great at family divorce or real estate. I find a dentist who specializes in dentistry. So if I'm buying a practice, if I'm bringing in an associate, if I'm divesting, if I'm selling, whatever that looks like for me in the area that I'm in right now in my dental office, in my dental career, I need to find that dental-specific attorney. Likewise, when I'm choosing a CPA, I have found that the work that a dental-specific CPA does is more effective in the dental practice. And not to take away from anybody that has a CPA license, they're all fantastic and they all do what they need to do. But finding somebody that's dental-specific can really hone in on the areas of concentration where not only can we be more productive in our dental practices, but more profitable as a business owner. And I think those things are two really, really important aspects that we have to look at. I can have two $1 million practices, practice A, practice B, that are $1 million practices. The one that's working with a dental-specific CPA, I will guarantee you, will have a more profitable year, all things the same, than the practice that either is not using CPA at all, or one that is using a CPA that does car stores and shoe stores and grocery stores. Again, not to diminish their capabilities, but what we do in the dental arena is very, very specific, and finding someone who's specific leads to better profitability in almost every case. So marketing as well. We know that in the last 5-7 years, marketing has become our physical and visual ability to bring in new patients to our practice, new clients to other businesses. And I strongly feel that the dental-specific marketing company is going to bring you a lot farther and get the type of patients that you are looking for in your practice rather than just large numbers of practices. And anybody that is interested in speaking specifically about any of these, I'm more than happy to talk after we get done with the broadcast today. But being very intentional about the specificity of the client, of the colleagues that you work with, is very, very important. Again, having somebody to help you with your business strategies, and I'm going to boast a little bit. I've been in the dental arena for 35 years. I have many, many colleagues that have been as well. Having somebody to help you as a business coach is important. If you can find somebody that has the same vision and the same alliance, the same philosophy of care as you do, I strongly suggest that a business consultant is somebody that will help you not only identify your needs today, but your long-term needs. And I'll go back to the comment that I made at the beginning. When I work with a dental office, a dentist, and whoever are the decision makers in that plan, I talk about our exit strategies. What does it look like at the end before I even start working with a client? And the reason for that is because I think that when we're in a business mode, we think about today. what do I need to do today? How many teeth do I need to fill? How many crowns do I need to put in today? What do I need to do to bring my AR into line today? And again, because our scape has changed so much in dentistry, we need to look at those long-term situations. 5 years from now, what do I need to do? Do I have to have a specialist in my office? Do I have to have a business, if I'm building out, large enough to capacitate additional associates? Or maybe I have one hygienist now, but I need to bring in a second hygienist. What does that look like, not short-term, but long-term? Because the decisions that I make today are really going to impact the ability for me to grow my business in the short-term and the long-term. And then the second thing is, at some point, a dental business is going to be a saleable item. So what do I need to put in place right now that when I get ready to sell, and God forbid that it would happen with any kind of a catastrophe, but when I choose to sell, am I going to be in a place where I can do it with the clarity and the authenticity and the plan that I put in place right now? So what measures do I have to put in place today so that when I get ready to hang up my cleats, I'm ready to be self-sufficient, I economically can do it, I put a plan in place for my patients and my team to be well taken care of when I decide that I'm no longer going to be practicing dentistry. A lot of the clients that I work with now are moving from being wet finger dentist into a management role. So if that's part of what you're looking at as you decide where and when the end is for you, that's another possibility. But it doesn't happen when you go to bed one night and you wake up the next morning and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. It's part of your plan, and it's something you need to put in place today so that when you roll it out, it's already structured and strategized.
Makes perfect sense. One question I have, though, Teresa. So when someone is going through their practice and there's a lot of shifts and changes that could come about for them, there's a lot of information and a lot of options out there, and they're really busy. So how do you keep them engaged and so that they don't feel like all the information is going and they're catching some? You know, and I think of the continuing legal programs that lawyers have, for example, where you hear about what's going on with different marketing strategies and this, and with dental, there's so much more. So how do you keep your finger on it?
Yeah. You know, again, I belong to many organizations, as you do, Nick, and I know that Mike does as well. And I think that's where we get the information. So when you're parenting, and any of the listeners that are parenting, you get information, well, you should do this, and this is how you should raise your child, and this is what they should eat, and this is how much activity they should get. So there's a lot of information. You're absolutely right. So then we have to decipher and sift through it and say, yeah, that's great for the industry as a whole, but what's pertinent to my business? I'm a million-dollar business in a rural community, or I'm a $3 million practice in a downtown major metro area. So gather the information, sift through it, and decide what's pertinent for you. So there's many, many study groups, and I'm hoping that lots of our listeners belong to groups. And if you don't already, you need to. You have to do your homework as a business owner. You can't allow the industry to change past or quicker than what you're doing right now. So in order for you to stay abreast, rely on the confidants that you've brought into your circle of network friends. So networking is huge in any business. You have to determine who has credible information and where that credible information is reliable or pertinent to you in your particular situation. As many dental practices as I've been in, Nick, over the many, many years that I've been in dentistry, I will tell you that there has not been two that have been identical. We all do take care of patients. We all take care of teeth. We all, you know, have the basic structure of protocols, procedures, and the team members that help us fluently through our days and weeks. But they're all unique. What they want to deliver is unique. Their plan of advancement is unique. Everything is unique. So when you find information, and God knows that we've got tons of, Struggle Midwinter happens this coming weekend. The Hinman happens in 2 weeks. There's lots of organizations and places to get information. And I would ask that the dentists that are listening as well, that they not only are the source of information for their practices, but every team member that they have should be as well. So our hygienists obviously are licensed in the state that we work in, and they have to keep a continuing education flow of information. They are sources of information for their departments. Their departments lead to profitability within the business. And the other thing, too, is when we lean on our people that work for us, whether they are administrators with zero college education or maybe a bachelor's degree, some of them have master's degrees, use the information that these people have to help you jettison your practice ahead as well. And just another little tidbit on what's going on right now with the industry is if you are encumbered by everything that's going on right now with COVID and all the other stresses that you have no control over in your office, and you've decided just to dig a little hole and stay where you are right now, I can assure you that your colleague down the street or the other one across the town that you're in is not doing the same. They are trying to find solutions to problems that they may not even know exist right now. So we in the dental industry and every other industry right now have got to look forward to the opportunities that we either create ourselves or that we think might occur and what could be probable solutions to those. Because if we don't, Nick, what happens is our competitors are going to. And as much as I love to say the primary reason that we are in healthcare is to take care of patients, we are also business owners. So if we're leaving those growth opportunities at the door, our business colleagues that are taking on those challenges are going to surpass us in the ability to take care of our patients. And when that happens, they take over part of the realm of growth or opportunity in the area as well.
One thing that I see in a lot of professions is with the competitiveness, people painting a picture that's brighter sometimes than it really is and holding their secret. I come from law, so I always pick on the lawyers. A lot of the family law people in that sort of my arena, very good at their poker faces. Everyone's doing so well. And just people are saying, well, what are they doing? What's their secret? What are they doing for marketing? And sometimes, you know, it's hard to tell who's being honest and who has good information or who really has a fast track to something and they're just keeping it to themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I think some industries are more so that way than others. And like I said, I would hope that just because we're in the care field that we don't do that. But you know what? Every person has their own ability to make their own decision. So I'll go back to the same thing that we started this conversation about is who are your people? Who do you trust? Who do you know? You know, how many times do you sit down in a group with these people that you trust and just bounce ideas around? So if you don't have to have the same industry. If we have an attorney and a lawyer and a banker and a marketing strategist and a CPA all in the same area in a group meeting, we can work on each other's businesses and help with strategies and just throw out ideas that some of them are going to, you know, be like spaghetti and hang onto the wall and stick, and some aren't. But I think that you're absolutely right. I would be naive to say, oh, no, everybody wants everybody to succeed, and we all want the same level of growth and patient care, and that's unrealistic. But when we work together with groups and networks that of people that we trust that can give us guidance, it works out for everybody in that group to a certain degree. So obviously talking about it is one thing, and then implementation is always the more difficult strategy. You know, where do you start? How fast do you go? What is the cost associated with it? But trust, I think, comes down to everything. And I'll be really honest. You know, in the Chicagoland area where most of my business is, there's a lot of people that I could go to and knock on their door and say, hey, I need an attorney to do this. But I will and have for the past 35 years gone back to that same well where I know that my reputation is going to be strong because of the trust that I have in the people that I've given it to. So obviously Mike is one of those. He's working with two of my clients right now, and all I have to do is pick up the phone and say, Mike, this is a situation. You know, here's what we need to do with this. And I don't have to know law. I don't have to know the first thing about it. But what I do know is every client that I've ever sent to him has been happy with the outcome. And I will put my reputation on it any day. So when we congeal as a group and we all know within that group that we can trust the outcome, that my reputation is going to be strong, not only because of the work that I've done, but because of the recommendations that I've made within that group, I think that everybody wins. So I hope that kind of answers your question as far as that mm-hmm. goes. We can't just go into an open market or sit on social media all day and say, wow, this looks great. I don't know that person. I don't know anybody that has had work done with or by them. But when I have that group of trusted advisors, or if I call Mike and say, hey, this is my situation, I need somebody to help with whatever, he can say to me, well, you know what, I've had a similar situation, and I've recommended ABC firm to do that. So if it's outside of law and I still need a recommendation, I go to the people, once again, that I trust in the industry that will give me information that I can go back to a client with and say, you know, here's the research I've done. I do trust this recommendation. Let's see where we can go with that.
Well, and when you are in an area where you have a trusted network of professionals who've been around for so long, they know that they're getting referrals from other people in the network. And, you know, I always think of Mike as being like a hub on a big wheel with a lot of spokes. And, you know, all of those spokes are people and all have needs and connections to everything else. And one of the things that I appreciate you're referencing also that people calling on attorneys, you know, because they might have someone to refer it out to. When I think about the dental service organizations and some of the different options in dental practice that I've just learned about by working with Mike, there's so many moving parts. There's a lot of contracts. There's a lot of insurance questions. There's a lot of things that, like the unknown unknowns that could pop up from time to time, which I think has a lot of people kind of afraid to take next steps. And so I think especially working with legal counsel is important to be proactive. I mean, it's, you know, who's read the actual insurance policy? Do you know all the terms in there? And there's a lot of things that, you know, people hear about all sorts of potential problems in the healthcare industry. So it's just so important to be proactive as well as, you know, not only just being reactive and knowing that you're ahead of the game, because by knowing what you're up against, it might be easier to take certain moves to grow.
You know what? That's absolutely right. This is so interesting because, you know, there's some things that you can do. If I paint the wall in my dental practice purple and I decide, wow, that looks terrible, I can always go back and paint it white. But when I signed a contract, whether it's for a lease or an associate agreement or whatever it is, there's no do-overs in that, right? So I want to make sure that I have led my clients to the right source to begin with. If I have a 10-year plus 2-5 options in a space, and there was something in that lease agreement that wasn't torn apart and put back together again, that client is bound to, you know, at least 10 years, maybe 20 years in the same space, and you can't undo that. Those are the big things in life, you know. So like I said, you can always, you know, if you buy a piece of equipment, you don't like it, you know, you can always undo that. But the things that are really, really important, the things with the IRS and the things with law, you know what, I'm smart enough to know I don't know anything about that. And I always go to my sources and say, hey, this is the situation. What are your recommendations? Right. And then let it go from there, because I've given my best to that client at that point by referring them to somebody that I trust.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit more about your business, what you do, and how a dentist out there who may be listening to this can start getting to know you better.
Wow. Thank you for that. You know what, again, I started as a chairside assistant a million years ago, went on and got my formal education at the University of Illinois, bachelor's and master's, and came back into the dental field. I always knew that I wanted to be in healthcare because I don't think that it's a gift that that we should overlook. Our health is our most important asset. And I always wanted to be in a place where I could really influence that. But I also found a love of business. So being a business strategist, a coach, is really where I can combine both of those things. And I've been doing it for over 35 years. I started as a practice administrator for a very large business here in the Chicagoland area, but multi-locations. Then I went to being a consultant for an international organization. And then I spent about 12 years as a partner at a CPA firm doing consulting in a dental-specific CPA firm here in the Chicagoland area. And in 2003, started my own business. And the lovely thing about that, Nick, is that I write the rules. So there's no corporate, you know, this is how you have to engage with a client. This is how long you have to do it. This is the fee you have to charge. So when I go in and I meet the client for the first time, either virtually or, you know, physically, I assess what their situation is. We talk, I listen, we set goals, and then we put strategies in place in order to achieve them. And I will help a client from everything from, you know, policies and procedures in their practice all the way to, you know, making hiring suggestions to helping with marketing, taking care of insurance issues. Everything that is a moving part within a dental practice, I either put my hands on and roll up my sleeves, or like we just talked about, I have tons and tons of partners if it's very, very specific that that practice needs, and happy to give advice, but then also introductions for other colleagues that can help them in areas that I don't delve into.
Good information. Always just, it's good to get started and not, you know, just talking about these things today and talking about what the person across the street is doing or down the road is good to think about, because I know, especially within the last, you know, the last 12 months, everyone has been sort of waiting to see what's going to, you know, open up every new day that we wake up. In the world, and we just had this huge weather system come through the entire country. You know, you just never know what's out there, but getting a foot ahead, making plans, moving forward, the more, it's like when I talk to people about marketing, when they come to me, when I have lawyers come to me for law firm marketing, we talk about once we start doing our blog articles and once we start doing our podcasts, we're going to start having more ideas about things and what we think, you know, what we care about, what matters to clients, what matters to us. And so just by brainstorming and getting those things moving, you know, that I think helps us keep moving forward and not being stagnant. And even though there are times that I tell people that you may feel like you are stagnant, you can always start over, you know, not completely, but in a sort of a respect, a colleague of mine talks about allowing himself every 5 years to remake, rebrand his company. You know, I mean, that's only doing a website, different logos and fonts, things like that. But it's, what are you doing in your business that, you know, for lawyers, another example, what practice areas are you really enjoying? What's making money? Some people made a lot in bankruptcy, and that was really good. And then the laws changed. And so some of them shifted to other things. So it's just knowing other people that are out there are in your same situation and that you're not alone. Because it can seem kind of daunting with the world out there today that there's just, again, with dentists too, I've learned through working with Mike that there are just so many options out there. And I think some are just kind of waiting to see what happens with some of these DSOs, for example, you know, watching other people go through their retirement and exit strategies. So very, very good information. So Teresa, how can people best get in touch with you directly?
So the easiest way, obviously, is my website, so they can actually jump on and take a look and see what we've done for clients in the past. And I can be reached there at success, S-U-C-C-E-S-S, at speaker.dental. There is no comma net. Dental is actually a domain right now. So okay. Any of you dentists that are looking to actually put out information, .dental is really an awesome way to do it, because then it's very specific about what it is that we're doing. Or my cell phone is a great contact point, too, and that's 708-732-2162. So either way, I'm more than happy to spend time. And I like doing things complimentary on the front end. I've told Dennis many, many times, you know, that it's a relationship. A consulting interaction is a relationship. We have to work together. You have to be able to know who I am and what I can deliver. And I like to, you know, interview with the doctors that I work for as well. So I'm happy to spend some time on the phone free of charge just to talk about what your situation is right now, what you might be trying to achieve, and you know, kind of, again, brainstorm some ideas of opportunities that we have offered other clients that have been successful and see if that is something that you're looking to achieve in your practice growth.
All right. Well, such good information. Thank you, Teresa Narantik. Such good stuff. And I hope that everyone does get in touch. And it is about finding people you know, like, and trust. If you're not comfortable with the person, you might not open up to what you really want. And so it takes, in those relationships, take time. Finding these right groups takes time. Definitely worth it. So again, I want to thank Teresa Narantik for being our guest today. This program is again brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Fabia and Associates, with offices located in Chicago and Rolling Meadows. For introductions and referrals to healthcare professionals in the Chicagoland area, do call Michael V. Fabia and Associates at area code 312-609-6666. Again, 312-609-6666. Teresa, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for being on the program today.
Nick, be well. Be well. I hope everything turns around down in the Lone Star State, and you are obviously back with heat and water, and hopefully that's the end of any issues that you're having down there this winter.
Except for ants coming in. So the insects are trying to come into the houses now. So the exterminators are busy, as well as the plumbers and everyone else. So you know what? With everyone, you know, and it's not only our homes and residentials, our business practices and offices got hit too. So, you know, that's another thing. I think dentists might want to always make sure they've got good insurance policies. You know, make sure that you are good with your space. So, all right. Well, thank you again, and we'll talk soon.
Be well. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.